You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday, part two, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hohl, publisher of Wolverines Wire. Through USA Today Sports Media Group, the mailbag continues. This is part two. If you are tuning into this wondering, like, where's my question, it didn't end up here, it's in part one, which has our the leaders and best, victors, valiant, all the ones that you hear on a weekly basis. There's a couple here that you hear on a weekly basis that we've included in part two, partially because we ran out of time in part one. Also, because I just wanted to have some anchors to this episode. So that's where we're at. Let's start off with, I don't have a fancy name here. Those who pump it up. Zan at Zanland is Anthony's breakout. Is this Anthony's breakout game of the season? I hope not. I hope that he has a bigger game like he did against MSU. Will he be more involved now? I mean, it's possible, maybe probable. Again, he's got that connection with JJ McCarthy, but also, you know, there's a lot of receivers to keep happy. Like, people are, and I think there's another question here. I'm going to go ahead and knock this one out too. Todd at Toddy Brown Jr. Will Andrell Anthony be more involved? Was thinking he was going to have a breakout year. It is, you know, there's been 2 weeks. And Ronnie Bell finally got involved. He wasn't really that involved in week one. Had a big game in week two. Roman Wilson's been big in two games. Cornelius Johnson's, he was only a kind of okay in week one. Had a bigger game in week two. And he had a lot of backups in for half the game. So this is just the start. The non-conference, I mean, these guys have only played a half. Pretty much across the board. So that's also, I'm just going to knock out another question right here. Clyde Frog at Clyde Frog 6996. Why hasn't Eric All done anything yet? I thought he was supposed to be one of the top tight ends this year. He is. He also had a baby born at 7:30 a.m. before week one. So he was going on no sleep because he was there at the hospital. He's been involved, but they haven't really needed that. That's part of it. They haven't really needed some of the big playmakers to step up. I want you to think back to some older games, right? Sometimes the guys that step up in the non-conference too, you don't hear from ever again. Think back to 2011, week one against Western Michigan. Brandon Heron with two picks, including a long pick six. He's on SportsCenter. Everyone's like, is Brandon Heron this next great defensive player? When was the next time you heard of Brandon Heron? Doesn't really matter in games like this. It does because they have to win it and you want to get certain guys going, but you know, it's not always these early non-conference games, and it's been 2 weeks, man. It's going to take a little while for some of these guys really start to step into their roles, you know? You want Andrell Anthony and Eric All and some of these guys to step up big in games like Iowa. Right? Like, Roman Wilson wasn't really thought of very much. If I went back and looked, memory serves, he didn't necessarily do a heck of a lot in the first three games of the season. But at Wisconsin, suddenly there's Roman Wilson. You know what I mean? U of M Clips Bolts at U of M Clips Bolts. Were you surprised by Harbaugh announcing JJ the starter immediately after the game? I thought he would wait and ease it in. I am very surprised, so much that I hedged very hard in my article. Even though, like, I asked some other people and they were like, no, he made it definitive. I'm like, I could just see him saying Monday, like, oh no, I announced him as the starter week three. We'll evaluate. And he didn't. He doubled down. Yeah, no, he is the starter. So yeah, I am surprised. I didn't think that that he would. I figured he would do kind of like a, here's the starter for week three and we'll see. But I think that speaks to how good JJ was. He really did earn it on the field, which is important. P.S. Any tips for my buddy this weekend on how to catch salmon? He needs all the help he can get. Definitely barking up the wrong tree there. I haven't been fishing since I was, I don't know. I was pretty young, probably before I was a teenager. which I bought a fishing pole about 10 years ago. And it's at my mom's just sitting collecting dust. So if anyone wants to teach me how to fish, I would appreciate it. Data Guy FL at Data Guy FL. Looking ahead, which West Division opponent concerns you most out of the one? Oh, he's got two more questions. We'll get to that in a moment. But as far as ones Michigan plays, maybe Nebraska will end up being the most concerning but out of the ones that Michigan plays. Because we'll see how they do against Oklahoma now that Scott Frost is gone. Because that change of coach situation might be the elixir of what they needed. And by the time they face Michigan, it very well could be a whole different Nebraska team. Illinois is dangerous in multiple ways, but I think they're still well overmatched by Michigan. Iowa, they get Nico Reganey back and the other guy, I can't remember, and find a way to get some offense, could be a different deal. But Michigan avoids Wisconsin, which right now looks like not as big of a deal. Very thankful that Michigan avoids Minnesota. I know Minnesota hasn't played anybody, but at the same time, right now Minnesota is on a tear, and they kind of started it late last year. So I think that they could be really good. He continues, can Iowa score a touchdown if they don't start in the red zone? At this moment, I don't think so, man. I can't believe they're 23-point favorites. I really cannot this week. Not against Michigan this week. Is it possible that Illinois is the strongest of the three? We'll have to wait and see because Nebraska's got some talent. Casey Thompson does scare me a little bit. They've got some really good receivers. Defense is maybe not as scary. They've got some things to figure out, but maybe this new blood is what they need, you know? Get a win against Oklahoma suddenly, and this might not be an amazing Oklahoma team, but suddenly they've got the confidence that they can take down anybody in their new situation, and that's half the battle in some ways. Joe Slatter at Coach Slatter. With the QB battle behind us, how much time do the coaches have to spend on culture? I'm sure some guys were Cade guys and others JJ guys. The culture seems to be strong, but wondering if they have to spend time making sure it stays that way. Thanks. I think no, because I don't think really it seems like everyone's kind of team guys. The only ones that would be kind of like JJ guys, I think, are the ones who probably came in with him in his class, you know, and Andrell and Donovan. But at the same time, I think that I don't really think that there's a split, right? It's kind of like if they're winning and they're winning big, I don't think suddenly the culture splits. So I don't think it really matters. Winning cures all. That's just the nature of it. If Michigan was losing and had this situation, completely different scenario. All right, let's move on here. We've got so many questions left. We'll get to them momentarily. But BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I love that the last ad that I read is also the first one I read on this one. That's how that's going to work. Let's continue on. So many questions, so little time. Pharaoh J plays at Pharaoh J underscore. What are the realistic expectations for this season? I right now the sky's the limit. You know, I don't think that this is like a hey, temper your enthusiasm type situation. This is a year in which I think Michigan at least let's just say make it to the college football playoff and see where you can go. But you got to get there, right? I think anything less than that would be a disappointment, and that includes the consolation prize of a Rose Bowl, because I think that you're building on what you had last year. And I don't think Michigan should settle for, well, last year was a cute year. I don't think they should sell for that. You've got so much talent back still, and you're really clearly going for it. So I think that college football playoff is at least should be the expectation. Anything below that would be a disappointment. And if you don't make it to a New Year's Six Bowl, then it's a disaster. Put it that way. Short at Jacosto 21. Can we whoop on MSU like a big brother? They should, but for whatever reason, they tend not to. MSU is just one of those weird, lucky programs sometimes. Luck is a big factor, and they are like the luckiest, and that includes, and it takes more than luck to do what they do in the transfer portal. Jacoby Windman looking like their new find. But Michigan needs to take that game as seriously as it did in 2016 and 2018. It just seems like they fall off, and they are, because like that's the first name out of their mouth when they talk about teams that they want to beat this year. So they've got a, this is going to be a game at home, possibly at night. You've got to take it seriously. I can't imagine, because like the last night game was a loss. I can't imagine what a night game win over Michigan State would be like here. That would be electric. Joey at M_fan_2. How mad is Josh Gattis that his speed and space offense finally arrived and he was pushed out right before he could drive it? Well, he wasn't really pushed out. He kind of left of his own volition. Because it kind of seemed like he was pouting over the fact that it didn't sound like he was in next in line to get the Michigan job if Jim Harbaugh left. Then he left unceremoniously, kind of surprised a lot of people. And I don't know what that situation in Miami is. We're going to find out a little bit more this week when Miami takes on Texas A&M. But I think it was a miscalculation on his part, because Miami is not necessarily going to be there. Miami's been a dumpster fire for a while. And keep in mind, I kind of root for the U. So I know Mario Cristobal, good track record, but so did Manny Diaz, had a good track record. Mark Richt had a good track record. They have not been able to figure things out down in Coral Gables for some time. So you're leaving a program in which, even when Michigan wasn't like going nuts, you know, like going out there and winning Big Ten championships, it still sent multiple people. Maybe they've gone other places as well, but multiple former Michigan guys have ended up as head coaches. Now, maybe he's looking at it that way, like, okay, now I can go and do something at, you know, like Jed Fish went to UCLA as offensive coordinator and then to the NFL. To the Rams for a little while before he got Arizona. You look at some others that around, like obviously Don Brown went to Arizona for a year under Jed Fish and then got UMass. DJ Durkin went right from Michigan to Maryland. There's guys who have gone around. I just think it's a miscalculation. I think it's a huge miscalculation on his part to have left. But whatever. Clark at Mark_Greenlease. I'm a little surprised about the lack of AJ Henning we've seen on offense. Maybe he's played more than I realized, but I thought he'd be a bigger piece. Do you think we'll see more of him as the season progresses? 100%. We got a lot of these types of questions with different players in throughout here, obviously, at the beginning of this episode as well. There's no reason to go full bore against the teams they've played so far. They're going to get into the bag a little bit more when they play better teams. It's just there's no reason to just start, you know, there's so many playmakers, it's hard to do everything. And I know there's people in there like, oh, afraid of losing Henning. And Channel 4 had an article about, you know, you keep AJ and Andrell from transferring. Listen, their time is coming. I don't think that there might be a little disappointment like, oh, I didn't have a big game, but we're only playing the starters half the game for the first two games. Probably going to be the same in week three and week four. Then it's going to be off to the races. At least that's the hope and the goal. But I mean, at the same time, maybe not. You might be seeing some of the freshmen getting more snaps as a result of the offense being as efficient as it's been. But yes, you'll see more AJ Henning as the season goes on. There's no doubt about that. Go Blue. At @Number_9_fan, think the starters play a little bit deeper to get more prepped for Big Ten play. And I answered this in the first podcast, but I'll just say it again here. I think that they might, but again, if Michigan's up, but where there's no way they're going to lose going into the second half. Why risk the injury? You know, unless a guy is really clamoring to play, doesn't have like a lot of the stats, just wants to get some reps against another team, then I think that it's, you got to play it by ear and see how the game goes. David Jelinek at David Jelinek 1. Why are they not throwing the go route to Clemens? Because Darius Clemens is a true freshman. There's a bunch of people ahead of him on the depth chart at this point. And everything that they've done has worked so far. So, that's why. Greg Biaserta at Coach G Via. Is this the worst Big Ten you've seen? So many teams look very average. Michigan and Ohio State look to be far ahead of the rest. It's about the same as it always is. I mean, Wisconsin usually doesn't necessarily lose to a team that's as, I don't want to say bad, and Washington State's probably okay. I mean, no more Nick Rolovich, but new coach, all of that, that's disappointing. They go into your house and they beat you. That's, you're supposed to be like, at, you know, at worst, like the fourth best Big Ten team, and you lose to what's at best like the seventh Pac-12 team. That's not good. So, I mean, to some degree, but Michigan State might end up being pretty good. We'll find out how they play against Washington. Penn State, we'll find out more about them when they play Auburn. So, a little too early to tell because non-conference season's kind of wacky. Teams are just kind of starting to get going, and what you see early is different than what you see late. Can you continue? I'll add Michigan State just under them, but the rest look very mediocre. Okay, I didn't see that part because I didn't forget how to put an enter in there. Ricky Roscoe at Ricky Roscoe 0. If Cade transfers after the season, what teams do you think would be a good fit for him to succeed at? Probably teams like Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Iowa. You know, a decent Power 5 team. Maybe he goes back west. I could see him going to, like, you know, probably not UCLA because that's different kind of offense altogether. But I could see him going to, a lot of those teams aren't very good. I could see him going to Washington. You know, I could see him going to, but I don't want to speculate on transfer. He might stay. You know, you never know. You never know what happens. But I think he would be a mid to upper tier Power 5 starter. I think a lot of people don't give him enough credit. I think he would be a mid to upper tier Power 5 starter. Absolutely. I don't think he would leave and you'd find him like at Toledo, you know? I think a lot of Michigan fans think that. But he's not that. Finishing us out in segment 2, 2Z Designs at 2Z underscore Designs. Andrell Anthony has been super quiet this year, result of being buried on the depth chart, early schedule not showing anything on O or something else. Not really all of the above, more so early schedule, but he hasn't necessarily been out there. Let's dive a tiny bit deeper here just to kind of get something so we can figure something out here. Because I would bet when it comes to the amount of times that he has been out there, it probably has not been nearly what a lot of people probably think compared to some others here. So let me see here. So the receivers who have been out there the most as far as pass snaps, Ronnie Bell's been out there the most, 34. He's followed by Cornelius Johnson, 27. Roman Wilson, 17. Donovan Edwards been out there for 20, but obviously he's a running back. He's doing a bunch. A.J. Henning's been out there for 15. He's been out there for 16. So it's... I think that, like, you look at who their obvious guys that they're trying to go for, it's Roman Wilson's been the biggest beneficiary, only out there for 17, but they've got the clear pecking order here of Ronnie Bell, Cornelius Johnson, and he's right up there with, like, Roman Wilson, but Roman Wilson's only got 3 catches, so it's not like he's got a ton. It's just kind of how the game's gone. It's be patient. Some of these guys you're going to see. He's Jim Harbaugh's favorite player on the team. So I don't think you're going to have to worry about Andrell Anthony. All right, we've still got plenty more. probably more than I have time to do, but we're going to try to, we're going to get through them all here in the next 10 minutes. So stay tuned for just a brief moment. I love hearing the little pitter patter above my head of Zuri's paws. Just super excited. I think she sees bunnies outside or something. I don't know. So sorry to Jimmy Whitner. She's not joining on the show today, clearly, because she is upstairs super excited about something. Perry Mitchell at Perry Mitchell 08 is Andrew. Oops, well, same question. Different askers. Andrew Anthony lost on the shuffle list. Wide receiver room right now has been surprisingly quiet the first two games. Should have included that before the break, like I did with some of the others. Slipped through the cracks. Question asked and answered. A Furkinator at Furkinator 1. Huge fan of Corum's running style. Hoping for him to have a massive game soon. You think JJ will open him up to some of those big runs like we all like to see? I'm not saying he's been playing poorly now, but I wouldn't be mad at seeing him hit a 200-yard three-touchdown day either. I'm kind of surprised that we haven't seen that yet. It just seemed like maybe his little the rust burning off. Granted, we saw it right out of the gates in pretty much in week one, and then again in week three, and well, really the first several weeks. I'm fine with it, that not being the case. You know, the running game started last year. Passing game needs to start this year. So you might not see it quite as often as you did before, but I mean, he's still, I think, toppled. I know he toppled 100 yards, I think, week one. Week two, it was 9 carries for 88 yards. So part of it is probably he's not getting the ball a heck of a lot. So that's part of it. I don't necessarily know about the 3 TDs. I don't know if that's going to happen necessarily because they got a lot of guys, you know. They just got a lot of guys right now to get involved. So we'll see. Jacob Palmer at Jacob underscore Palmer 13. I know it's against UConn, but what improvements would you like to see Michigan's offense and defense make? That's easy. Line play. I want to see a sharper offensive line. As far as that's concerned, I want to see what happens for the defensive line as far as getting pressure if the other team gets rid of the ball quickly. So pressure and turnovers. They got 2 turnovers in week one. I don't think they had any last week. So that they definitely need to do that. The other part I think I want to see is run defense get better. Now the run defense numbers have gone down in part, I think, because of what you've seen late in the last game. Certainly UConn is going to try to run the ball. So I want to see UConn, they've got a good running back. I believe he's like 4th in the country or something like that. Rated like 4th in the country, at least by Pro Football Focus. So slow that guy down. They weren't able to run the ball very well against Syracuse. I'd imagine would be the same for Michigan, but those would be the things I'm looking for. Nick Molyneux at Molly Nerd. What are some of the pros and cons of blowing out lesser competition? Seems like tons of young guys get valuable reps, but the starters aren't tested. Still seems better to have stronger competition than this. What is a question? I would agree. I would like to see stronger competition than this. Zach Shaw had a really good article on 24/7 Sports, a former colleague. Still colleague, but former coworker. It's not necessarily Michigan's fault, right? Like they canceled UCLA, but you know, Colorado State, when they scheduled them, they had been doing really well against Power 5 competition. They were a team that no one wanted to play, and then they've just kind of tanked since then. So kind of can't blame that. UConn, Hawaii, maybe not so much. I think that the pro is obviously you get guys ready in ways that they can't get ready in practice. So, you know, all these guys are playing defense right now that, you know, you're kind of getting that next crop ready, or even getting some of those guys like Jimmy Rolder ready to play, you know, be a bigger part of the defense later in the season rather than just being a guy like Rod Moore started playing pretty much straight out the gates in the blowout situations. And then by the end of the year, he was actually doing the whole thing, you know. So I think that that's the pro. The con is, yeah, guys aren't necessarily getting tested. It's hard to get guys up week after week, and you don't want guys to get complacent, being like, okay, yeah, this is what it is, and then get punched in the mouth by, like, say, Maryland suddenly, and it's like, oh, wow. Just because Maryland's played tougher competition, at least slightly tougher competition. So Yeah, that would be it. Reed Hansen at Reed underscore Hansen. PFF grades for the O-line have been solid, not great. Will those grades improve with stronger in-conference competition? I do believe so. It's just, you know, it's mostly guys kind of just getting acclimated, getting into the swing. It's been troubling, but there's no reason for concern. We'll talk about it after week four, I'd say. Week four, week five, we'll really know what this offensive line is after week five. Not that Iowa is getting after the quarterback per se, but I think that's when we'll kind of have a good idea. Brian Budenciek, I know I butchered your name, at Brian Budenciek. B. Budenciek, rather. So I live in Iowa and go to Ann Arbor at least once a year for a game. My wife is an Iowa fan, and she has been begging to go to the Iowa-Michigan game in Iowa City. I hate Kinnick Stadium. Tiny, and people are rude. Last time I was at the Iowa-Michigan game a few years ago, we did get upset when we were, I know, that in the top five. I pray it's not a night game because the environment there helps the Hawkeyes so much. So that's more of a comment, obviously. I don't believe it's going to be a night game. It's just kind of, Michigan, don't turn the ball over, and you'll probably be fine. But Iowa's looked electric when, like, Maryland turned the ball over, like, five times in that game last year. So, that's going to be the big thing. Take care of the football. Make smart plays. And score touchdowns. Don't let the weirdness of that state. I mean, I was there, too, 2016. Freezing on the sidelines. It's a weird game. Don't let that happen. Travis Alderman at Travis Alderman under Travis Alderman one rather. What should we expect from the offense this week? What's your score prediction? I don't remember. I predicted it officially. I can look it up. What should we expect from the offense this week? Just hopefully more sharpness. I'm not saying perfection. That's pretty close to impossible. I predicted Michigan 52, Connecticut 10. So I think it could go a lot higher, but I just think that they'll call the dogs off. I think. Could be a similar situation. Michigan's up like 35 to nothing at halftime. I think UConn's going to be a little bit of a tougher test than some people think. I think they've played a little bit tougher. It'd be different if Taquan Roberson was in, the former Penn State quarterback that got injured super early in the Utah State game week zero. But as far as the offense, I think more of the same. Spreading the ball around all over the place. A couple different guys star. JJ looks sharp. That's what you're hoping for, and I think that's what you'll get. Jamie Menifee at Jamie underscore Menifee. Does the O-line get it together and dominate the way it should against the lack of competition? You hope so. Obviously, they're trying to work on things. The one thing I didn't mention is one of the things that does concern me is that Sharon Moore, as offensive line offensive coordinator, not just offensive line coach, is not able to hone in game as much on his unit. So he's not being able to make personal in-game corrections to the offensive line that he might have been able to make. So hopefully that doesn't become a thing, and hopefully, whoever the assistants are, the analysts can figure out those things and relay them to him and all that stuff in-game. I'm not really sure how that communication works, but all that kind of stuff. All right, joining us for our last question of this mega episode. So if Jimmy Whitner, if you're watching, if I can... Come here. All right, there you go. For those watching, you have a little bit of Zuri on screen, barely the face, finally joining us after she was excited upstairs for whatever reason. Ryan Rollins at Ryan Roll 2054-1782. O-line recruiting should be a major priority this cycle. Where are the top tier guys that we should be following? Obviously, they have a couple. I'm still waiting to kind of see. I know there's some guys. I haven't really been doing as much. I started in the recruiting thing, and people really didn't buy into it that much, and I kind of stopped again. My eyes are on some of those Notre Dame-type guys. And there's one lineman there in Jagusha. But he's the one I'd have my eye on. I can't remember the other guys that they're really going out. So I can't really give you a good answer, to be honest, and I don't want to make anything up. So we went the full hour. That's 1 hour of me talking. I hope you guys are happy. Thank you all for having the fervor to be so engaged and make this show a success. So appreciate you all asking so many questions. Might not be the most questions that we've gotten, but this is the longest we've done mailbag. So again, your question didn't make this episode. It's probably because it's in the first one. So that's we've got two full episodes of a mailbag, splitting them up and doing it that way. So thank you for watching and or listening. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.